Now we're getting again to 2 Thessalonians. This is the part we didn't get to 2 weeks ago. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And with the word of God open at that place, let's unite together in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for all that's taking place here. And we pray that every bit of it will be undergirded with prayer. We realize that holy activity that's not based or undergirded by prayer will not amount to very much. But if it's fortified and based on prayer, undergirded by prayer, born out of prayer, it's bound to succeed. We thank Thee for all what Thou hast done for us, even in the year that's almost come to an end. We come now to ask Thy blessing upon this service. May we think of it now as if it may be the last we would ever preach or listen in, and grant the power of the Holy Ghost to be upon us. And may the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we were dealing with two texts, one from Luke chapter 17 and one from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Those two texts were linked by the theme of faith. And we noticed the first one in Luke chapter 17 verse 5 where the desire for the increase of faith was expressed. We noticed then that it was a good desire because of the significance of faith, what faith was and how it figures in salvation and in living the Christian life. We saw that we can't become Christians without it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thine house. We saw also then that it's only by faith that great exploits in the Lord's work could be wrought. Great exploits will not be wrought unless they're prompted by and energized by faith. And let me say also that this is an interesting subject, and it's a good desire to pray for the increase of faith because the Lord Jesus is particularly interested in it. You remember we noticed that whenever the storm was in Galilee's lake and the disciples were panic-stricken and they came to the Lord and they said, Lord, we're going under. Carest thou not that we perish? Lord, save us. Whenever the Lord dealt with the matter, He then said, where is your faith? Something that was so important that the Lord asked after it. And whenever two blind men came to Him seeking to be healed and to receive their sight again, He said, believe ye that I am able to do this? The Lord Jesus thinks so highly of faith that He said to a woman once, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And one tremendous matter we noticed was that without faith it is impossible to please the Lord, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. So if there's no faith, we don't please the Lord. That's the bottom line in all of this. So we saw that it was a noble desire, a good desire. And we saw what caused the request. The disciples were told they had to forgive somebody who had offended them time and time again. If there was genuine repentance, then the people had to say, right, if that man or that woman is sincere in their apology, sincere in looking forgiveness, you have got to forgive them every time. And then the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. So we saw the reasons why these people prayed for the increase of faith. Now, as we come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we noticed the second part of what we wanted to consider then that we're going to consider now. Not only the desire for the increase of faith, but the display of the increase of faith. Notice this verse, verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, to which we're coming just now. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, or as it is fitting, And here's the reason. Because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Now there was the display of faith. So whenever these disciples asked the Lord to increase their faith, they were asking for something that was good and proper and essential. And here's an instance of it coming to pass in the lives of others. This young church at Thessalonica. Now, let's notice the display of the increase of faith in the life of these people. First of all, I want you to notice the presence of this display of faith, or display of the increase of faith. He says, your faith groweth exceedingly. It's yours. It belongs to you. It's been born in you by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, but it's yours. It abides within you. It was a matter personal to these people. Want to know how it happened? Well, the story is recorded for us in Acts chapter 17. We're going to turn to that in a minute or two. Don't turn to it now. But let me tell you that Paul and Silas came into Thessalonica. And as their wont was, they went into the synagogue to teach the people. And they preached the word of God there, and they reasoned with the people, and they preached the word of God, explaining the Old Testament scriptures to have meaning in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. Now, a lot of opposition took place. But not without, the Bible tells us, plenty of people being saved. Oh, it's wonderful, the story of what happened. And they were formed by the Lord into a church. Persecution arose. And then Paul and Silas had to flee the area. And they moved on to a place called Berea. So whenever Paul was writing to the Thessalonians in the first chapter, let me just ask you to turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, notice verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And if you go on to read down there, you'll see that Paul said, listen, we didn't need to speak anything. You did it all. And he says, your example has been so praiseworthy that others have heard the word from you. And now you've turned to God from idols, and you're waiting for a son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from heaven. So here were people that faith was born in them, and then it developed, it grew, and it was displaying itself in their lives. Now, for us to have an increase of faith, there must be the presence of it in our lives. And men and women, let me ask you here today, and young people, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because if you have not, you have no faith. You say, but I have faith for this, that, and the other. You may have. But you have no basis for your faith. You have no saving faith. It's only if you're a Christian. If you read what Paul had to say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 2, he tells us here that all men have not faith. And if you're not a Christian, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to trust Him as your Savior. You need to be born again. And it's only then that you'll have that faith. God will give you that faith. As you repent of your sin, God will give you faith to trust Him as your personal Savior. Have you faith? Because it's only if you have it that it will ever grow. The presence of their faith. But notice secondly, not only the presence of the display of faith, but the power of it. This power was manifested in various ways. For instance, we read in Hebrews chapter 11, the different ways in which it was manifested. Read the exploits of Abraham and Sarah and Moses and a host of Old Testament Bible saints. But they were all famous. We don't have the names of the people in this church at Thessalonica. But for all of that, their faith was manifested in a marvelous way. Notice, first of all, the power that was seen in their love to the fellow Christian in the church. Notice, if you will, chapter 1, verse 3 again of 2 Thessalonians 1. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity, that is the love of every one of you all toward each other, aboundeth. That's how their faith was manifested. They weren't fighting with each other. They weren't being backbiting and gossiping against each other. They weren't giving each other cold looks or the cold shoulder. Rather, the Bible says their love was abounding. Not only were they not at odds with their brethren and sisters, but they were actually helpful to them, warm to them, loving to them. And Paul says, that's a mark that your faith is growing. Now I wonder, those of us who have growing faith, has our faith stopped growing because we're at odds with some brother or sister in the congregation? That's a matter that you need to check. That's a matter that you need to take heed to if you want your faith not to be frozen up. Think of the great freeze that we've had this last couple of weeks. There wasn't very much accomplished. Things came to a standstill. If there's a freezing in our relations with a fellow brother or sister in the Lord's work, well, then our faith is going to freeze and we're going to be held up as far as Christian good works are concerned. You remember Psalm 133 verse 1 where the psalmist writes, behold, that is, take a good look at this, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he went on to say, it's like the ointment, the precious ointment that was upon the head of the high priest that ran down his beard onto the skirts of his garment, and in order for it to do that, it had to cover the breastplate wherein were the precious stones with the names of all the tribes of Israel. That's what unity is. It's a oneness between the born-again people of God. And he went on to say, not only was it like that precious ointment, but he says it was like the dew of Hermon that affected the mountains of Zion. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, Paul talks about forbearing one another and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Somebody observing this, or maybe struggling with it, wrote these words one time. To live above with those we love, my, that will be glory. But to dwell below with saints we know, my, that's a different story. And how true it is. Oh yes, whenever we go to heaven, we look forward to meeting all of those people that we've read about or that were fond to us and dear to us. But because of the hassle and the haggling and the frazzling and the agitation and irritation that we have upon each other, so often we find it difficult to live together with saints below. Paul says, that if there's not going to be this love for one another that abounds, then our faith will not grow. There'll be nothing to be displayed about the increase of faith. So it was manifested, first of all, in their love to their fellow Christians. And secondly, it was manifested, secondly, in patient endurance in the midst of affliction. Notice again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. He's still talking about faith growing exceedingly. Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith. See how both are linked together. Your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. This church was suffering, but they were bonded together with love for each other and patiently enduring the hardships that were caused by the outside world. Now turn back to Acts chapter 17 to you see how this was manifested then. This is where the church was formed. We'll read some verses from this and we'll draw the references that we want to notice with you. Acts chapter 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And then in verse 4, after the gospel was preached, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, but of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Now if you read on, you'll find that there was tremendous persecution. Notice verse 8. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And verse 10, the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. Now, Paul and Silas were only a few weeks in that church when they had to leave it. But what a church. It was well grounded in the truth. It was a church that exercised faith in Christ and lived it out. And in the midst of much persecution, Paul now writing, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he says, your faith has been enduring in the midst of all of these persecutions and afflictions. He received the word with much affliction. Are you having a hard time, beloved? Has things been going wrong for you? Maybe in work. Maybe in home. Maybe you're stricken with circumstances of this present time that you never foresaw. Remember what Peter wrote. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. It's things like this that make our faith grow. That help our faith to grow. When hardships come, it's easy to trust Christ when there's not a cloud in the sky and whenever the sun is shining brightly. But when the storm comes or the frosts come, or terrible circumstances beset us. It's a different story then. But that's whenever faith is proven. The Bible speaks about the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold which perisheth. It was so in the case of the Thessalonians. The power of the display of the increase of their faith and the presence of it. But notice in the third place, the progress of the increase of faith. How did it happen? Well, there are principles set out in life, and especially in God's word, that show us how our faith may develop, how our faith may increase, how our faith may grow. First of all, if anything's going to grow, it needs food. Plants to grow need food. Babies to grow need food. In the case of a human, there has to be the food that's given to it, the appropriate food, at the right times and in the right amounts, whether it's for infants or whether it's for adolescents or if it's for mature people, will not grow in mind and body unless we get the food. And the Bible tells us the food for faith to grow is the Word of God, especially the promises of God's Word. That's what we do. We feed on the Word of God. And it, especially the promise, it means then whenever we get the promise and God by His Holy Spirit applies it to us particularly, we rest on that. We plead that promise, we present it to God, and we patiently wait. God has said it, therefore God in His own good time will come through with it. And faith is growing all the time. So, if you're not reading your Bible regularly, you'll not have faith that's growing. I'll tell you that for sure. It's only as you read God's Word and learn it and get it into your spiritual system, the way that you get food into your system physically, it's only as you get the food of God's Word into your Christian life that you grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ and that your faith will increase. So, humans need food. But then again, if a baby or an adolescent is going to grow, it needs exercise. It can't lie on a cot all day. It can't lie on a bed all day. It can't stay indoors all day. It has to get out to exercise those muscles, those limbs, those arms, and different parts of the body. Exercise. What's that mean? It means activity. If your faith's going to grow, my Christian brother and sister, you need to get involved in God's work some way. It's not enough just to be a pew warmer on a Sunday. It's not enough just to pay your respects to church in a gentlemanly or ladylike way. You've got, that is, if you want your faith to grow, you have got to be involved in some form of Christian service. All these announcements, people may say, oh dear, they're so long, I just turn off. I remember a man saying to me over 20 years ago, he says, I just turn off whenever you make the announcements. I said, shame on you. That tells us what God is doing in the work. And the fact that we had so much to announce this morning, and we didn't announce all that's taking place. Some of it's on the bulletin. Stuff is on the bulletin that we didn't announce. But the fact that so much to be announced tells us there's a bit of life going on here. And God is at work. You need to get involved in what God is doing. You need to find out what your gifts are, your abilities, your talents. Because the body of Christ, the local church, needs your contribution. You need to get involved for the proper working of the whole body of the church. You might say, well, I'm not so significant. Neither would our little toe be significant. But if it's amputated, the rest of the human body is going to suffer for the lack of it. Or if a finger is missing, there's a difficulty in gripping things. You need to contribute your talents, your gifts, however minimal they may appear in your own eyes. So if your faith's going to grow, you need to be involved in the Lord's work. Then again, you need to be out in the fresh air. Whenever you're out in the fresh air, breathing in the air, it's helping your lungs, your heart and your chest. What is that? Correspondingly, spiritually, it's prayer. You need to pray, ladies and gentlemen. You need to pray. It's not enough just to bow your head on a Sunday morning when you come to church and that'll do you for the rest of the week. You need to be men and women of prayer. And children, I urge you to read your Bible and pray day by day as well. To all of us who are Christian people, and if we're able at all, to make our way to the prayer meetings of the church, to fellowship with kindred minds and spirits and bodies. Blend your prayers and your praises with the rest of us. And if you've been missing from the prayer meetings, get back. You're missed more than what you are even aware of. You need to get back into the prayer meetings. That is, if you want your faith to grow. So there's got to be exercise. There's got to be out in the fresh air, and there has got to be food that you take in order to grow. And you need the company. A child that's on its own, that it never has company with other children, is going to grow up a kind of an oddity. I'm not putting it mildly. It needs the company of people its own age. It needs the company of people of its own kind. Throughout the different stages of its life. And that's why we say, get into the prayer meetings. Get out Sunday nights. Don't let Sunday morning just be the one time in the week that you get out. Get among Christian people as often as you can. They'd give anything to be able to come to God's house on a regular basis as we can in different parts of the world where they're deprived of opportunities like this. In North Korea, for instance, it costs to be a Christian. Parts of China, it can't even meet the way that we would meet in a manner like this. So these are different ways in which our faith develops. Then I want you to notice lastly, not only the power, not only the presence of it, not only the progress of it, but notice the pleasure that Paul had as he saw their faith growing. Notice what we read in verse 3 again. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. And here's the reason. Because that your faith groweth exceedingly. All the company, the thrill, the pleasure, the cheer, rather, that Paul saw in all of this. You remember how the Lord Jesus took great pleasure in faith. You remember the centurion who had a servant unwell, and he sent for the Lord Jesus Christ to heal the servant. He was a Roman centurion. He wasn't a Jew at all. He wasn't a member of the Commonwealth of Israel. But he believed that the Lord could do something for the servant that he loved. And that's commendable in that centurion to think that way of a servant. That wasn't a peer of his. Wasn't another centurion, a colleague, but a servant of the centurion. And the Jews went to the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, he has asked that you would heal a servant. And if we may say, he's worthy, because he has built a synagogue for us. And that was commendable in a Roman centurion. And the Lord Jesus said right away, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion, when he heard that, he says, no, there's no need for the Lord for you to come to my house. The centurion went out to meet him. He says, I'm a man under authority. But he says, I have servants under me. I said to one, go there. Said to another, do this. And he says, they carry out my bidding. All you've got to do is speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And you know what the Lord Jesus said? He turned right round and addressed the crowd, and he says, I have not found such faith. No, not in all Israel. He was really pleased. It always pleases him. And it always grieves him when there is no faith brought into action or play. Now, Paul was a devoted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had learned his master well. And in writing this letter to the Thessalonians, he says, I've got to thank God always for you all the time, because your faith is growing all the time. And it's growing exceedingly. He says, I'm obliged to do it. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, he says, I sent to know your faith. Let me tell you, it gives great pleasure to a Christian leader to see his people having great faith and exercising it. We hear a phrase a lot these days, and it has tremendous significance. It is moving out of your comfort zone. Now, that's just another way of commenting on what the Bible says. Launch out into the deep. It's safe enough to be around the shore. If anything goes wrong, you can hop back onto terra firma. But when you launch out into the deep and things go wrong, you don't have the shore anywhere near you. The Lord says, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draught. William Carey expressed it another way. Not about coming out of your comfort zone. But he says, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. And that is right. And these Thessalonians, whoever they are, they were a church that gladdened the heart of the Apostle Paul. And he says, I'm thrilled. Got to thank God all the time for you because of the display of the growth of your faith. I ask myself and I ask you, how is our faith today? It's very special. It's practical. It can be increased and enlarged. Christ can do it. He must be applied to do it. Will you ask him today, as those disciples did in Luke 17, Lord, increase our faith. Will you put into practice the things that he shows you how to do it? Prayer, Bible reading, study, Christian fellowship, Christian service. And trusting him whenever the trials come, when the hard times come. That's when the muscles are strengthened. Whenever we exercise, whenever runners have to run a race, or boxers have to prepare for a bout, or wrestlers have to do the same, their muscles have to be toned up, and it can be painful for them. But they have to do it in order for whenever the time comes that they engage in the bout, they're strong and prepared for it. And whenever the trials come, that's when our faith is being strengthened all the time, along with these other matters of fresh air, of good food, good exercise, namely prayer, Bible reading, Christian service, and Christian fellowship. May God look down upon us and see a congregation whose faith is growing exceedingly.